Hey, this is Casey Roush, and you're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio.
Summertime is a time for celebration and activity. Today, Trishelle King talks with Melvin Merritt about this year's Penny Mill Community Empowerment event, and then Brandon Ellerton about the voices of people's unity in the community. Then, the 420 drug war news. We highlight the KC No Violence Alliance rally. Up next is Trishelle and Melvin.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm here with Melvin from the Penny Mill this morning. How are you?
Good. Good to be here.
Thank you. Can you tell me what is the Penny Mill? I haven't heard very much about that. What is that?
You haven't heard anything about Penny Mill?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Penny Mill is a foundation that we formed over 3 years ago, and Penny Mill, the purpose of Penny Mill is to try to bridge the gap between the various cultures and ethnic groups in order to learn to appreciate one another's differences. And so I saw a need that we should come on the same canvas, so to speak, and show our children that it doesn't have to be a hood type of thing, and we perpetuate that type of mentality, and generally is unaware of it because of our cultural differences. And so we generally put up this barrier, this wall, and that's one of the reasons why I'm bringing out the Hispanic community. And one of the Hispanics is going to be speaking, addressing the Hispanic community and talking about just in general children, whether it be black, white, or whatever. And so we're excited about our upcoming event and what's going to take place in that.
How long have you been around? How long has your organization been around and doing these type of things?
Well, as I alluded to, we formed it a little over a year, 3 years ago, to be exact. And it was actually just a thought. And I let me say this. Penny Mill and how that name came about is that we were collecting 1 million pennies, and we had cans around the city collecting that 1 million pennies. And 1 million pennies, I know someone is asking how much is 1 million pennies. 1 million pennies is $10,000, which is not a lot of money for what Penny Mill is trying to accomplish in the community. And so we work with various entities in the community, the police department. We work with different agencies, and I need to give a shout out to Niles Children's Home. And so our passion as well is with the Niles Children's Home, because that they are 130 years old in our community, and I was unaware of that until I went to a meeting and heard a lot of the great things and how it began and the donation of the building by a couple years ago. So and it's still in existence. So they have been supporters, and so many other businesses have been supporters. So I'm excited about that.
Excellent, excellent. Well, tell us about the event and when it's going to take place, and if you're going to have entertainment there, special speakers, or I see that we're going to have some dance performances and everything and stuff. Tell me about that. This event sounds exciting.
Yeah, well, it is. It's going to be exciting. Not only that, and let me say this, that I looked at the weather last night, and the weather's going to be just what I really ordered. It's going to be about 86 degrees that day with the sun shining. So, you know, that in and of itself, everybody ought to get excited, because that's the weekend. The weekend is going to be real nice. Yeah, we're going to have a lot of different entertainments. We're going to have the Kickapoo Indian Tribe to come out and do a powwow. This particular guy has a BA degrees going for his master's, and so he knows a lot about the different cultures, and he has studied the Indians as it relate to blacks and things like that. So he is with a wealth of information as it relate to the various a couple of the cultures like blacks and Indians and how they connected. Also, we're going to have Brother John Anderson. He gets in and out of characters. He kind of go you know, stuff like that, you know. And he, the guy is really talented, and he does speaking engagement, and I couldn't do him any justice on this program because the guy is very talented. And so we're also going to have horses and ponies out for the kids to get up on the ponies. Young kids can take pictures and, of course, ride. Adults can ride absolutely free. And there's going to be some face painting for the kids. For the young kids, it's going to be done by a former Hell's Angel. And so I'm excited about that as well. And so just various the VA hospital is bringing out a big bus and a van and a lot of different agencies where people can come along and ask about these agencies without a non-threatening environment. They can walk up to their table, get some information, and just some other games that we're going to be having in the park for kids and lots of different stuff. And this one couple, let me say this, that is, you know, a white couple that's going to come out and they're going to perform their songs and stuff like that with a backdrop with some kind of like a psychedelic type music behind them. So, you know, all of this, and it behooves the community to step out and be a part, because this event with the Penny Mill Foundation, it is a people event. And it's a community event. And so, and we're going to have a lot of giveaways. I'm going to be giving out about $500 worth of gift certificates from Wendy's. And so I'm excited about that as well and what we're able to do. We were going to, matter of fact, we were going to be raffling off a 32-inch Panasonic screen with surround sound. We haven't been getting too many of the raffle tickets sold with that because the tickets are $5 a ticket. But we have other raffles where we're going to have Advanced Auto is going to be doing that. Napa Auto Part is participating in this. Lots of different very powerful agencies and businesses that's going to be participating in the Penny Mill Foundation. And to back up a little bit, Penny Mill was just a thought. And so I carried that thought out because it was a vision that I saw that the community needed to have. And for the past 3 years, it's been a fantastic event. So I'm encouraging everyone that's listening to the sound of my voice to put it on your calendar on the 17th. Starts at 9 to 5 at the Blue Valley Park. That's 23rd and Toppins, just east of Hardesty. So I encourage you to bring your families out and get a free gift certificate for Wendy's and just a lot of other giveaways. Napa Auto Parts going to be giving out some free stuff. We're going to have Advanced Auto is going to be giving out car wash. We have a raffle for car wash and a two-ton jack with stands. We're raffling that off. Gift certificate from V's Restaurant. Applebee's, and so a lot of these different businesses that's making it possible for me to bring it to the community absolutely free hot dogs, of course, and that's usually the norm on events like this, but we're going to be part of the norm of as it relates to hot dogs and things like that. So
And then what are the results that you want to see from the community? You just want everybody to come out, everybody just to come out and have a good time, get to know each other, enjoy all the different entertainment and all the other things that you have to offer. And again, what day is that? Did you say August 17th?
The 17th.
From 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 23rd and Topping?
Yeah, that is correct. And how much time we have? We have few minutes. Well, the point I want to bring out too is what I'm hoping to see. I'm hoping to see that the community will begin to start noticing that we can learn to appreciate our differences, and it teaches the children and to see all these different ethnic groups all on the same canvas together. So that in and of itself, if we can accomplish that, which I believe that we will accomplish that that effort, will make that possible.
That sounds fabulous. And where can we find out more information in case someone wasn't able to get their pen and paper? They can go to Penny Mill ne.org to find out some more information?
Yeah, or they can call me at 816-204-0428. And as you mentioned, that our website is pennymillinc.org. And so they can pull it up and look at and see what Pennymill is all about, our mission statement and what we're planning to accomplish and some of the other things. They also can look on the gallery of our website and see some of the pictures from our bowling excursion that we perform in the December, around about December, a little before, after Christmas and before New Year's.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Melvin. I appreciate you coming in this morning and sitting down and giving us this information. It sounds like an exciting community event, and I hope that you have. I hope that it's very successful and many people get a chance to come out and take advantage of it. Anytime we can get 80 degrees in the middle of August, you know that's got to be a weekend that we can celebrate.
So I'm hoping you're going to be there to make it really great.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
Good morning. This is Trishelle, and I'm here with Brandon Ellington this morning. Mr. Ellington, how are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. It's good to see you in the house this morning. I understand that you have a lot of activity that's been going on lately. I understand that the veto session is coming up. You've been doing some community classes are being held, and then you have an event that's coming up. Where are we going to start with you at this morning, Mr. Ellington?
Yeah, I'm a little all over the place. We can actually start off talking about some of the things that will be happening during the veto session, which comes up September the 11th. Governor Nixon vetoed a lot of bad bills that came out of the House this year. One of them would be the tax bill 253, which would cut all corporate taxes, raise sales taxes. So that means the majority of people will be paying a lot more, while we allow the richest of our citizens to pay little to nothing. And particularly when you talk about like companies like Walmart that don't like to pay a living wage, and we have people out here begging for minimum wage to get raised up. And we want to cut corporate taxes and raise taxes on those that need it the most. So I was glad Governor Nixon vetoed that bill. That was a real bad bill.
Good, good. That sounds like finally somebody is stepping up to the plate to help some of the poor people this time.
Well, it was a common sense bill. Well, a common sense veto. In Missouri, we talk about how we don't have enough money, how we didn't have enough money to do health care this year. Because we was talking about it may be up to $800 million in totality, but we want to, $900 million in totality, but we want to cut $800 million out of the budget so corporations can have lesser taxes. It doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. It was common sense legislation to veto it. Mm-hmm. If you don't have enough money to pay for health care, how do you have enough money to give it away?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, exactly. I've been reading a lot of the debates and arguments that are going on up at the White House between the Republicans and the and the Democrats and everything. So I think that the Republicans can have kind of overplayed their hand at this point, and everybody sees them for what they really are, and they are just the party of no that just doesn't want anything. But if it favors the rich, then they're all for it. But if you just want to help middle class anymore, what is middle class? So that is absolutely, I'm glad to hear that. I didn't know that, so I'm absolutely glad to hear that. And I hope that there's some more people that will, just like you said, just look at it for what it really is and stuff, and then just take that and this is just nonsense. Mm-hmm. And we really need to be there for the people. We voted them in. We're going to make them accountable, and we need to start making mm-hmm. them more accountable and more transparent, and then maybe we can get some more things like that done. That's very good. Thanks, Brandon. Go ahead to the next.
Well, now that's the key that you just touched on, is it being transparent. Both parties have people in the parties that are that are hardworking, that truly care. Then both parties also have members in the party that really don't care about anything except for the next position or the title that may be in front of their name. And since the system is so untransparent and people aren't paying attention, you have horrible things that happen through politics, and everybody gets disenfranchised. Like when you were talking about the polarization that we see in Washington, mm-hmm. but we have the same polarization at the state of Missouri, mm-hmm. Which is sad because it breaks down to all politics, like the gun bill, which is another bill Nixon vetoed. We wanted to, and I say we just because I'm in the House, we wanted to pass a bill this year that would restrict federal agencies from doing their job, where if they come into Missouri, they couldn't enforce federal gun laws. Well, we can't do that. It's a supremacy clause. We passed the bill. Nixon vetoed the bill. But if this bill gets overridden, it's something that would be challenged in the court, costs us millions of dollars as a state to lose a case that we already knew was unconstitutional. But we want to file a bill, and I say we again because I'm in the House. We want to file a bill to go after Obama because he mentioned guns. Had nothing to do with what was really happening. It had everything to do with political presentation. And it was the same with the no vote on the medical bill this year. We know how helpful it would be to have universal health care and to have our citizens in Missouri to be able to go to the doctor. But we didn't pass it, not because of how much money we would get from the federal government, because we get money for roads. So that doesn't make sense when we say we don't want federal dollars when we take it for other stuff. It was all politics. It has nothing to do with the rural citizens in Missouri that don't have access to health care, or the people in my district that doesn't have access to health care. Had everything to do about party ideology.
Yeah, I agree. I've been keeping up with some of that, and it just amazes me. But once again, I still bring it back to the people that it's our responsibility to make sure that we hold these people accountable, and mm-hmm. we need to get together, write our letters, continue mm-hmm. to contact you in your office all mm-hmm. the way as high as we can go. You know, just flood them with those letters and phone calls, and also some demonstrations. You yeah. know. I'm almost thinking that we need to start something all over again. We fought for our rights a long time ago, civil rights, and the fight still continues no matter what anybody has to say about it. Mm-hmm. The fight for civil rights still continues.
Now, that's interesting that you said that, because during the second Reconstruction, which was the civil rights era, we seen a lot of legislation passed that was supposed to benefit so-called minorities. A lot of those same provisions and bills that we've seen pass in the second Reconstruction, we're seeing those slowly eroded away today, and nobody's paying attention. Mm-hmm. We just had a Supreme Court decision that repealed some of the Voting Rights Act. Very few people are talking about it. The same with some of the harmful things that we have coming out via the social services, like what we want to do with people that are on TANF or that are on other social services. We want to put them through so many barriers and make them jump through so many hoops mm-hmm. that we pretty much dehumanizing them. We had a bill that would have been attached to a TANF bill this year that would have required participants to have like 20 job applications a week to get their GED before they can get on the program. Now, if you got somebody that's 65, 70, how are you going to tell this elderly person that they need to go get their GED before they can get assistance when they didn't work and live their entire lives and now they need some help?
Exactly. Wow. Exactly. All right. Can you go ahead and tell me about the Communiversity classes that are being held over at Palestine?
Yes, I can. The Communiversity is something that originally started off as a boot camp. We're doing politics, law, world history, reading, math comprehension, computer literacy, education, employment. We have a couple leadership programs. We have one gentleman that's teaching people how to publish their own books and how to do their ASCALs for music, communication. We have a couple child care informational people that come in. We also doing women issues and entertainment, and that's at 3800 Agnes. And this is something that we will be doing 365 days out of the year. We do it in 4-week block increments, so each 4 weeks we change up the rubric and the classes, and we will be listing those. And we're also doing the Unity in the Community, which will be August 31st at Seven Oaks Park on 39th and Jackson. And this year we have a lot of entertainers, and we also have some celebrity entertainers. We have Michael Corrier that should be there, Terrell Owens, and he's going to kill me because I always mess up his name, but Cockroach from the Huxtables. He does have a name, though. We're just going to call him Cockroach right now, like, along with poets and singers and stuff like that.
All right. Okay. All right. Well, you are definitely busy. That's for sure. We didn't get a chance to cover as much as I wanted to cover with you this morning, Brandon. And I would like to invite you back to our show, and then we can go ahead and get into a little bit more things. And so Unity in the Community is on what day?
August the 31st, Saturday.
All right, and that's at 39th and Jackson.
Yes, it is.
And the community diversity classes are held at 3800.
And that's Monday and Thursday.
3800 Agnes on Mondays and Thursdays. And where can we get some more information about those classes?
You can go to voicesofthepeople.org, and you'll be able to find information on there. You can also email me at the state, which is brandon.ellington@house.mo.gov. Or you can contact Miss E at area code 816-651-0044.
Thank you, Brandon. We're out of time. Thank you.
For news, the following segment features Dr. Sanjay Gupta and Katie Couric.
Clearly, there is a major shift going on in this country, as we saw from those poll results and from the admission of people saying they had tried pot. Is it possible to use medicinal marijuana and not get high? You know, we heard about the cream form, obviously, for some pain. But how is it usually administered for people who are having medical issues?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. And I should preface by saying, I sort of approached this as a neuroscientist. I really wanted to understand how it works in the body and the brain. There's sort of two main chemicals in marijuana. THC,
right,
which is the one that people think of, the psychoactive, get you high, and CBD. CBD is probably the substance that can have significant medical benefit when it comes to things like the pain, seizures, for example, a lot of these things. And you can now create plants, strains of marijuana, that are much higher in CBD and much lower in THC. It's not that the THC is gone. It's just that you probably would not get the psychoactive part of this. And I've seen this being used for young people who really have no idea of what to expect. They're taking it as a medicine and not getting the high from it. It's just so striking to me that doctors are so willing to give all those other drugs, whereas this could potentially provide an effective and safer option.
Having said that, he's 19 years old, and of course, as a neuroscientist or surgeon, you know that his brain is still developing.
Yeah.
Is there any evidence that marijuana does affect a still developing brain?
I think there is, and I think you have to think about people whose brains are still developing separately than those whose brains have developed. And brain development doesn't immediately stop at age 18. It usually goes into your mid-20s, you know. So kids are, again, people with still developing brains, they should be put in a different category.
It's just tough, though, because I feel like we're sending out a lot of mixed messages here, and it's sort of hard for people to kind of really synthesize all this and then act accordingly, don't you think, a little bit?
I do, you know, but look, you know, again, I can't get my arms around this idea that we prescribe morphine, we prescribe OxyContin, we prescribe Dilaudid. I've researched this so much. You know, someone dies of an accidental prescription drug overdose in this country every 19 minutes. Every 19 minutes. And those are legitimate, legal medications which are being prescribed right now. And yet marijuana, which, again, I don't have a huge dog in this race, but the point is that that is a legitimate medication. It had been for 100 years, became demonized, and now we see a story like Chaz. He could not function without it. His life would be ruined.
Right.
And I meet countless people like that. We don't see this data because we can't study it. It's been illegal.
Again, that was Dr. Sanjay Gupta and Katie Couric talking about the medical benefits of marijuana, which begs the question, what will it take to motivate you to speak this truth? Dean Becker, DrugTruth.net.
Now the calendar for August 12, 2013. If you worked at the Bendix Honeywell nuclear weapons plant from 1949 to 1993, and you or immediate family members have contracted any of the 22 cancers qualified by the special exposure cohort, you may be eligible for compensation for your injuries and medical care. You may want to attend the status report / claims update town hall meeting. That's tonight, August 12th. 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. at the Southeast Community Center. That's 4201 East 63rd Street, KCMO. And The KC No Violence Alliance is holding a rally for nonviolence Saturday, August 17th, 2 p.m. at 31st and Prospect in Kansas City, Missouri. They are asking educators to bring their students, clergy to bring their congregations, organizations to bring their communities, and you to bring your neighbors. Great things are only achieved through great effort. My name is Jeff, reminding you that these events and more can be found on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page, as well as the Jaws of Justice Radio page on the KKFI website, kkfi.org.
We hope you enjoyed today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the host and guests of Jaws of Justice Radio, not KKFI, the Mid-Coast Radio Project, Incorporated, its staff or volunteers. To find a link to audio of today's show, the calendar, and more, check out Jaws of Justice Radio on Facebook. To contact us, send us an email to jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. And to find out about future shows, check us out on KKFI website, kkfi.org. My name is Keith Brownier. We thank our engineer, Joe Henderson, and Mike Murphy, host of the Wednesday Morning Buzz. Listen in tomorrow at 9 a.m. for Law and Disorder, Israel-Palestine Peace Talks, Monsanto political prisoner Marie Mason, and from Left Forum, Dr. Harriet Fraud. Don't forget to tune in Thursday at 9 a.m. for Tell Somebody with Tom Clammer, with his guest, Mojai Aghai, promoting Israeli peacemaker Mosaddegh. Up next is Counterspin, followed at 10 o'clock by Beautician's Blues with Luscious Lynn. And at noon, Arts and Magazine with Michael Hogue. Stick around for Jazz and Blues in the afternoon and Echo Radio KC at 6 p.m.